This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for your love for us and the grace that you've given to us to know you as our Savior. Lord, we pray that you would bless your word. Give us more wisdom and understanding concerning the salvation that you've given to every believer. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have that assurance, may you open up their understanding to see their need to know you as Savior. Bless again, Lord, your word and your people, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "He loved them unto the end." And that's a true statement. And that, of course, is speaking of his earthly ministry, that he loved all of his disciples all the way unto the end. In fact, he even loved Judas also, not willing that any should perish. And we'll see that here in just a moment. But as we consider the Lord's love for his own, what we want to zero in on fourth truths or four thoughts that are working in amongst that love that the Lord has for us, and that is the devil's work. He's at work. The Lord still loves us even though he's at work. I don't understand it all, but God has created the angels and human beings with the freedom to make choices. And we thank the Lord for that, because that really exemplifies true love. We're not robots. We make the choice whether or not we want to love the Lord or not. And obviously the devil made his choice, and some of a third of the angels. And then the second thing is going to be the Lord's work. The third one's going to be the Lord's word. And then the last will be the Lord's mind. And so as we move through these truths this morning, we want to take a little bit of a notice here of the Lord's concern for Judas. He didn't forget Judas, even though he rejected him. And so we understand that there's going to be maybe all different kinds of maybe reasons. I think ultimately will be because of the condemned, the lost souls that will be cast into the lake of fire forever, that our tears will have to be wiped away. And we thank the Lord also for that. But let me bring you up to verse 1 here again. And as we consider our text, let's remember that the devil is always working in the background, trying to stop the Lord's plan. But praise be to the Lord, he's going to be glorified in the end. Nothing's going to change that. And so here the Lord is observing the last Passover with his disciples. And again, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, because Jesus is our Passover, amen. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That's a crying shame, really. That's a sad testimony. But here's the devil's work, and he's looking to overthrow that which God is trying to perform. He's always trying to glorify himself as God. That's what he'd like to do, but he'll never be God. Could he ever be God? And by the way, Jesus loved his disciples unto the end. The devil never loves anybody made in the image of God. There are people that actually worship the devil. Did you know that? And the devil will give them things, but I want you to know the whole time the devil is doing that, he hates them. Because every human being is made in the image of God, and the devil can't stand that. And so they are really not a pleasant thing before the Lord, not a concern. All the devil cares about is himself. That's it. I don't even know if he cares about the angels that followed him, really. All he cares about, he is the epitome of what it means to be self-absorbed. Amen? And has no faith at all, no trust at all in the Lord. And he is thrilled to find other people or to encourage them or to cause them to not love God as well as he does. He thinks that's right. And I don't understand why he thinks he's going to win, because he knows this book probably better than we do. Amen? And he knows at the end he's going to lose. And here's the crazy thing. All these different times he's tried to overthrow the plan of God, he's always lost. He has always lost. And so why he thinks he's going to win at the end, I don't know. He's got this false hope that he thinks he's going to pull it off. And so he continues on towards his own execution, really, is what he's doing. And so, again, that's a little bit mind-boggling for me. And here's another truth. There is no redemption for the angels. I don't understand that completely. I thank the Lord, listen, that because of our ignorance, amen, and when God reveals to us the truth about eternal life in the Son of God, that we have the opportunity to turn from our sins and to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so now let's consider, after we see the devil's work here, let's look at the Lord's work. And of course, Jesus is our example. And so let me kind of, before we get started, let me give you an illustration here. And let's back up to the 1960s, the 1970s, right? They were not perfect times either. But the only reason why we're going back that far, or I could just simply say, before there were cell phones, amen? Because that's what I'm really after, before there were cell phones. Let's create this scenario here, and let's just say that it's summer, and they used to have, back in those days, they used to have summer camps that you go, and they would go on field trips. The parents got to drop off their children in the morning, and they maybe would go to work, and the camp would go ahead and do all different kinds of activities there on the campsite, or they'd go off campus there and they'd take a field trip. Let's just say there's this one child whose parents work late. And they said, listen, and this child is, say, about 7 years old, and we're talking about faith and trust here. And trusting in their parents as we would trust in our Heavenly Father. See, it's different to say, I believe in God. It's something else to say, I trust the Lord. The devils can believe in God and they can tremble, but do we really trust the Lord? And so this is really the main crux of the Word of God and what it really means to the life of the believer. So let's just take a childlike faith. Isn't that what the Lord says? Childlike faith. And so here's this child sitting there, and it's the end of the day. Let's say it's 5 o'clock. They've been there since 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. And that's a long day for a kid, and they probably want to be home. And so one by one, they watch all the parents come by and pick up their children. And then next, before you know it, some 30 minutes or 40 minutes go by, and there's only 4 kids left. And then all of a sudden, they get down to the last 2 kids. And maybe the child says, well, my goodness, my parents are kind of late here.
And the other kid says, hey, my parents will take you home. We just live down the street from each other. We'll just take you down the street and drop you off. And so the kid says, what should he do? Should he go ahead? By the way, would it dishonor his parents for the child to take the ride and say, well, I took the ride because I was the only one there and I didn't think you were coming? But they showed up faithfully throughout every day. They always showed up. They were the last one, but they always showed up. And so you see, if we're not careful, we say, oh, I believe in the Lord, but he's not on time for me. He's not coming on time. He's not coming when I would like for him to show up. And so what we need to be reminded of is God's timing is not ours. And God's timing is perfect. It's always right. The problem with us is we're impatient. And so patience is not developed by any other means, but by simply trusting in God's great faithfulness that he will be there at the right time. Not on my time schedule, not on other people's time schedule, but at the right time. He's always on time. God is never late. Do you know the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not late? Do you know that it's right on schedule? Do you know that the crossing of the Red Sea was right on time? Do you know that the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt was right on time? Do you know that Daniel's rescue from the lion's den was right on time and for the glory of God? Do you know also that Job's deliverance from his health and from everything that he had gone through was right on time? You could look at every account. Do you know that David becoming king was right on time? Amen? All these things that took place, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity past was right on time. Amen? And we can mark it down. The problem comes is that we need to realize it's not our time. It's God's time. And God says, you know what, for you, you always have these opportunities. You can either make these things come to pass, or the things that we need to look to God for, we can look to the Lord for. And so what is it that we talked about, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ there? There's power in the blood. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Would you do service for Jesus your King? Well, not on your own, but there's power in the blood. Amen? Would you walk upright before the Lord? It's not in yourself, but it's in the power of the blood. So how do I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ concerning those things? Well, I say, Lord, I know that I am imperfect. Amen? Amen? There's only two of us, Brother Tom, that are imperfect. Listen, today, we are imperfect. Amen? Amen? All right. Who's perfect? Only God. Only Jesus Christ. Only God is perfect. And so, Lord, I need, in order to serve you, I need your perfection. I need your righteousness. So how do I do that? Well, Lord, you've promised to make me holy because you're holy. Lord, you've promised if I abide in you, that you abide in me. So how do I abide in you? I trust you, Lord, that you will carry me through this day in a way that would honor and glorify you. So by faith or trust, that's the way I'm starting my day today. That's why I think it's important that if you're going to find any time during the day, the morning is the best time to pray. It's not wrong to pray any other time. All those times are good as well. You can pray in the morning and in the afternoon and the evening three times a day, just like Daniel did, is a good time. In the morning, because we need the Lord. In the afternoon, Lord, just keep us trusting in you and not looking to ourselves. And at the end of the day, praise God, he's faithful again. Amen? And so that's a good pattern for us to pick up and say, Lord, I'm putting my faith and trust where? In you. Amen? Not in myself. And I'm going to walk in that truth because you love us, does he not? All the way to the end. Amen. All the way to the end. All right, so look at verse 4 here. Verse 3. In fact, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and he went to God, he says he knows these things. He knows where he's going. And what does he do? He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, let me ask you a question. Was the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ an easy thing? Was it something that you and I, praise God, will never understand? We'll never understand that. Because on the cross, did Jesus not go through probably of course, something he had never been through before. And on the cross, did he not say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was when the sin of all humanity, I'm convinced, was placed from the world on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God turned his back because he could not look upon sin. That's amazing. Question, did the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity past and at this present moment as we're considering the Gospel of John know what he was getting ready to face? He did he not? He did not go into this world with a misunderstanding or no understanding. He knew exactly what he was getting ready to do. The Bible says he loved them unto the end. He's getting ready to die on the cross, and you know what he's doing? He's serving his disciples. And he's giving them an important lesson for us to consider and understand of what God... See, here's what we say today. You don't know my schedule. Well, wait a minute. Did Jesus know his? And did he make time? Hey, listen. We say, well, you don't understand. Listen, God understands. And the only ones that may not understand will always be us. Not God. You know, people do what they want to do. Isn't that the truth? People do what they want to do. So if we're failing in our relationship with the Lord, we need to call upon the Lord. You don't have to. But we have the privilege as a child of God to say, Lord, I need you to fix my want to. I need you to be almighty in my life. I need you to be what my life is really all about. Why? Because he's the lover of our soul. He's the savior of our soul. And all these things in this world are passing away. There is not anything you can leave on this earth that will not be burned up when God destroys this earth. Temporal. You think anybody's going to remember this last year's Super Bowl in heaven? You think anybody's going to be talking about the things that have passed away in this world? That we're done in this world. Do you know what the topic is going to be? God. God Almighty and what he's given to us. And we'll be looking into heaven, no doubt, awed and amazed at eternal life and everything. Now, listen, can you imagine what it's going to be like to have a body that will never grow old? Can you imagine having a body that will never get sick? Can you imagine a body that will be perfect? That's just for you and I. Let alone everything else God has in store for us. Listen, I think we're going to be awed. We have never had an eternal body. We have a temporal one. We're going to have an eternal body that is going to, no doubt, be different than what we have now. Can I dare say it's going to feel a little bit different than the one we have right now? Isn't that amazing? Listen, I don't mind flying if I'm in an airplane, but I trust the Lord Jesus in the rapture on the way up, amen, and to take me where I need to go, and I'm sure I won't have a fear of heights then, amen? There are going to be things that God, that you're going to have in your new body that you're not going to ever have to contend with the things that you've had in this body, and we're going to praise the Lord. Wait, that's just you and I. That's just what we're going to have in our bodies. How about the things that God says that he has prepared for us that haven't even entered into our minds? That when we see them, he says that the things that you have suffered in this world won't even be able to compare those things to the things that God has in store for us in eternal life. Isn't that good? And so. I'm saying all that to say, God, listen, in the midst of going to the cross, knew what he was getting ready to face. He did it for us. Amen. And to give us all these good things. And we say, well, you don't know my schedule. It's hard for me to fathom that thought. We can think that, and we can put ourselves in that kind of a mindset, but that's not the right one. Because God is worthy of what, second best or the best? Amen? The best. So notice this. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, all the disciples knew that this was the lowly servant's job. And so they're watching, no doubt, they're watching the Lord do this. Now, remember, they talked about, Lord, the two disciples, well, we would ask something of you. And he said, what are you asking me for? Oh, that one of us want to sit on your right side and the other one on the left side. They were filled up with themselves, weren't they? And in fact, the other disciples, when they heard what they were saying, they were put out with them. And maybe they were put out because they were saying, well, I was hoping I would be there. I don't know that was the point. Needless to say, they were upset. Well, the Lord said, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? And you know what they said? No sweat. Can do it. They had, see, that's our nature. I can do it. No. They had no clue. They did not understand that the sin of all humanity was going to be placed upon the Lord. There is no doubt in my mind, none of us would be able to take that. And he said, well, listen, here it is. I hear what you're asking me, but it's not for me to give that to you. It's already been appointed. God's going to choose who's going to sit on the right. That's God's place. But you are going to drink of the cup. You are going to suffer. And they did. Amen. But God is wanting us to, you know what God is trying to do in the life of the believer? Humble us. But we have to be willing to be humble. Do you know why God's wanting to humble us? That's kind of a hard thing to do to somebody. You want to humble them? Yeah, because pride will keep us from entering into the grace of God the way He wants us to. Pride will keep us at a great distance. As a child of God, pride will keep us at a distance from our Heavenly Father. And God's trying to break that wall down. See, listen, let's go back to that little 6-7-year-old kid who was waiting for his parents. What if he took that ride every day? I got this. I don't need to wait on you. I can get home on my own. Do you think that honors or dishonors his parents? It would dishonor them, wouldn't it? I don't trust you, is what he's saying. I'll do it myself. Do you think there are children of God that are in that mode? I don't have to wait on you. You can study the Word of God and miss God. Because we're filled up with ourselves. And so notice he rises up here, he girds himself, verse 5, after that he poureth water into the basin. If they had any doubt before, they know now what's getting ready to take place, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Are you washing my feet? Well, he just watched him wash the other disciples' feet. What did he think was getting ready to take place? Well, he knew that was getting ready to take place, but really he was, in his heart and mind, he was saying, oh no, Lord, I honor you too much. This is beneath you. But see, the Lord was trying to show him an example. And the only reason why Peter thought this was beneath the Lord is because he didn't know the Lord. Not the way he wanted him to know him. Because the Lord is saying, I want you to follow me. Isn't that amazing? We have a God. We have a shepherd that goes before us and leads the way. He does not send his sheep anywhere he hasn't been first. He was a servant first before the disciples. The disciples had a hard time learning that lesson. Question, do you think the disciples today have a hard time learning that lesson? Absolutely, because we're the same. We are the same, and we need to learn this, and this is a hard pill to swallow when we're filled up with ourselves. We don't understand the Lord the way He wants us to see Him. And so here we find, really, the Lord being our example, and Peter says, dost thou wash my feet, in verse 6? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Do you hear what he's saying? Lord, what I'm doing right now, you don't understand, but you are going to know after what? After the resurrection. You're going to understand this. Now, this was true even though the Lord knew that Peter wasn't going to get it right now. Because remember, the Lord knew that Peter was going to deny him. And the Lord knew that also that he was going to be converted from the flesh to the spirit. And then he was going to encourage the believers. And then he was going to build up the faith of the believers by the power of God. Why did he say you don't understand this now? Because you're using human reasoning. You're not looking to the Spirit of God. You're not looking to the way the Lord works. You're trying to figure God out with human reasoning. You're never going to do it. See, we either say, okay, Lord, and the Lord's business really in our lives is to bring us to the end of ourselves and trusting ourselves so that we can watch God work. As long as there's any life in us, we're going to say, I can do it. See, that's why, listen, if you think about it, that's why he waited for Sarah and Abraham to be to the place where they could not physically bear children on their own. Abraham couldn't even, listen, it ceased to be with Abraham even after himself. He could not even get another Hagar at that time. God waited for both of them to be powerless, and then he did what they could not do. He is doing the same thing today. The sad thing is, believers today say, well, I can't do it, so I'm just quitting. I've got eternal life. They have no fear today. Believers think that they can live this in this world the way they want to. They have no fear of a holy and righteous God who paid the price not only to give them eternal life, but his resurrection life here today. They have no fear of failing God. They have no fear. It doesn't bother them that they, you know, I understand. And so it's under the blood. It's under the blood. You'll not find that's the will of God for the life of the believer. God's concerned about his glory in you and me, in you and I. That's what he wants. It will never happen in our own strength. And so that's all we understand, and God is working. By the way, God's even working today to give us more understanding about how we need to die to self, and we need even God's help in doing that. Because here's what we do. We see man instead of God. Do you know that God's even involved at your place of business? Everywhere you go, God is involved. And God says, listen, don't look at them as human instruments. Look at them. God set up all authority. Even bad authority. He's put them in their place. Does God set up the governors? Does God set up all ruling principalities? Do you mean even officers that are not good? How about Pilate? Did God allow him to be governor? Yes, he did. And here's the question. Did he submit himself? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We can raise up all kinds of things, but God says for the child of God not to do that. Because God is the one that has set up that governor or that police officer or that authority. It comes from him. And for us to fight those authorities, rebel against them, is to fight against God. And so God is wanting us to trust him and honor him in doing the right thing. Now, when it came to the high priest and to the people that took up Peter and forbade him to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he left it with them. He said, I'm hearing you, I'm honoring you, but whether or not we ought to preach this word that you're trying to get us to stop, you tell me what's better, for us to serve God or man? And you know what was said? Not a word. Not a word. Now, should we change laws that are bad laws? Absolutely. We ought to be law-abiding citizens. Thy liberty in law. The liberty of God under the law. Today we want liberty, we want freedom, and chaos at the same time. Everybody just do what you want to do, and then we wonder why America's falling apart. Peter had a hard time understanding that. And the Lord tells him, he answers, he says, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And the Lord says to him, what I do thou knowest not in verse 7 now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now look at Peter's humility, verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. You think that's humility or pride? It stunk, didn't it? Question, did Peter see it or smell it? He didn't, did he? Peter thought he was right, didn't he? In fact, listen, he thought he was honoring God. And so notice what happens here. Peter saith unto him, verse 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, now this, now there's a difference. God just gave him some wisdom and understanding. Oh, the aha moment, because here's one thing Peter wanted. He wanted the Lord. Fathom this. Listen, if you're here and you're saved, there's no doubt in my mind, because I know myself, and I believe it's because of the Spirit of God that dwells in every one of us, we love the Lord. If you're here and you're saved, you love the Lord. Let me try that again. If you're here and you're saved, you love the Lord. Amen? Do you believe that? I mean, that's the truth. That's what amen means, truly, truly, right? I agree with you, preacher. I'm here. I love the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of my God. But that does not mean that we're doing things the right way. So here's the question. Here's the question. Did Peter love the Lord? In this particular place, was Peter filled with pride? Yes. Did Jesus love them unto the end? So the Lord is still loving Peter. He's trying to point him in the right direction. So he says, listen, Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter said, I bet, not that I'm a betting Baptist, right? But here's the thing. If the Lord confronted you today like that, you'd say the same thing Peter did. I love you, Lord. I want your way. I want your will. Because we have the same Spirit of God that helps us to see God the same way, that above all things, we do want him in our lives. We can be busy. We can forget about God. But that doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord. And by the way, being busy and forgetting about God is not right, but you still love the Lord. So verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So here Peter said, I want everybody to know how much I love you, and I want them to see how much you love me. I want every part, Lord. I want every part. But see, he's still not getting it, is he? Is that what the Lord wanted to do? He only washed the disciples' feet. Peter didn't even realize, you're giving the Lord more work to do. And that's not what the Lord's talking about. But Peter's understanding is, oh, listen, I want to love you with all my being. So Peter is misunderstanding the Lord. Question, is it possible today for the believer to misunderstanding God? That's why they think that, oh, listen, I have part with Jesus. I have the grace of God. It don't matter what I do. I can live like the world lives. And it's under the blood. It's an excuse. It's under the blood. There's a problem with that. Amen. That is not the will of God. And if you love me, he says, you'll keep my commandments. And if you really love God, I dare say it'd be to our advantage to ask God, how do I love you, Lord, and walk in your ways and keep your commandments? Because here's one thing I know. I can't do it. Can you? I can't. But I would dare say it's important for us to keep the commandments of God. And here's what I've learned. God has given to us the power to walk in his ways. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power where?
In the blood.
Not in us, but in the blood. And so if you really want to get the excitement of salvation in your life, seek Jesus. He's the life. He is the way to enjoy God in us. We're indwelt with his Holy Spirit. We want to see the power of God. And so Peter was having this disconnect here of the Lord's example. And so now let's consider the Lord's word right here. We see the Lord's work. He is physically working with Peter. The other disciples watched what's going on here also. And sometimes some disciples, Peter was kind of an outspoken individual. The other ones were just kind of going along for the ride. But Peter wanted to know why. Amen? Peter wanted, there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what they say, no real good question is a dumb question. Some people say, no question is really a dumb question. And I believe that because typically, you know what they say, if one person in a group wants to ask a question, there's probably some others that are afraid or not willing to ask that would like to know the same answer. I would dare say this question or this comment or this situation that arose with the Lord and Peter, it was a benefit for the other disciples to hear what the Lord had to say about it as well. I would dare say, because it's in the canon of Scripture, that it's also a benefit for you and I to hear about it as well. All right, so let's consider the Lord's Word here. And this is the life of Christ working out in our life toward fellow believers. So Jesus says to them in verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. He that has been born again doesn't need to come to the Lord for another salvation, but we do need to make sure that we're walking upright before the Lord. We do walk through this world. You've heard this before, and they wore sandals back then, and so that's why they were foot washing, because they had picked up the dust from the earth as they would walk through it. And so as Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, to only wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. So the Lord's not done with Judas here. For verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. Why would he say that? Do you think Judas knew what he was getting ready to do? The Bible says that the devil had already put into his heart and mind what he was going to do to betray him. Remember that in verse 2? Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. You think Judas knew what was in his heart? Absolutely. Why would the Lord say this to Judas? For conviction. To repent. Now, the Lord, I don't understand it. This gets beyond me. But the Lord still was having compassion on Judas to turn. And then he says this to them. Verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had the episode with Peter and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Know ye what I have done unto you? Do you know what I've done to you? Well, here's what they do know. He took the position of a servant. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, when are you going to set up your kingdom? The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings served his disciples as he served us to give us eternal life. He says this to them. He says, ye call me master. He's going to explain. This is the Lord's word to them. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to make time to serve other fellow believers in Christ. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Do you know the best way to serve a fellow believer? Do you know the best way to serve a fellow believer? That's good. Pray for them. That's a good thing to do. But this is all of it. This is all of it. And it'll include prayer. And you'll see that here in just a moment. And you'll go, oh yeah. Love one another. Because if you love one another, you're praying for them. You're praying for them. Especially if you know they have a need. Oh God. Please, Lord. I would pray for them as I would pray for my own, oh God. That you might bless them in this time of need in their life. Because how about you? I know what it is to need the Lord and to call upon the Lord for a need that I have. And so he says, if I then, your Lord, he says, you call me master, verse 13, and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do even as I have done unto you. And we can't do that if we're filled with ourselves. We can be too busy to do these things. He says, verse 16 here, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. That's the truth. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, here it is, Happy are ye if you do them. Do you know what that means? You can know them and not do them. But the Lord says, and by the way, you can know them and forget about them. But God, if you're seeking the Lord, God's going to put that in front of you to love one another. And love extends itself in many other different ways when we really love one another. And so this is the Lord and His Word working out in your life and mine. And by the way, seen in the lives of other believers. Now, I praise the Lord. We do have a blessing of the Lord here amongst God's people. But the most important thing is that we seek the Lord to work His will in our lives by His power and His grace, because then everything else. So the focus is not loving the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not the focus, is it? What's the focus? Loving the Lord. Loving the Lord. If we love the Lord, that means we trust Him. That's the only thing that brings love in God. In the life of the believer, the reason why we love Him is because we see God's great faithfulness. He was faithful to save us when we called upon Him. He was faithful to meet every need that we have. And the greatest need that we have is to follow Him. That is the greatest need that we have as believers, is to walk as He has walked. And so when we really want to do business with the Lord, all we have to do is say, Lord, I know the power is not in me. I also know, because You've told me, the power is all in You. And here's, are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit as a saved child of God? So you don't need to pray already for, nothing wrong in asking, Lord, fill me with Your Spirit today, but you don't have to do something. You're already indwelt with the Spirit, but Lord, fill me that I might walk in Your ways with Your Holy Spirit today. Does God hear that prayer? Absolutely. You know how He hears that prayer? If your son were to ask you for bread when he's hungry or for fish, that's how He hears it, and you'd give it to him, wouldn't you? And so here it is, ready? The Lord hears that, so you know how I'm walking this day? Praise God. He's going to take care of business for me. And I don't have to think about, okay, patience. I got to be patient. Kind. I got to. No, we don't know what's going to happen today. And so, Lord, as long as I know that You're in me and I'm abiding, that's how you abide in Christ. Lord, I'm calling upon You. I know that You are indwelling me. I'm asking You to fill me with Your Spirit that you might live Your life through me. And watch what God will do when we walk by faith and confidence, believing that we've received what we've asked for. That's faith. So I can sit down there and I can ask God for that, and then I can say, oh, I wonder if He's going to do it today. Is that faith in God? Is that trusting the Lord? Is that not the will of God, that He should glorify Himself in my life and yours? So is He going to do it? If we believe Him, if we believe that we receive it, and watch what He will do. Oh, you're just going to talk yourself into it. That's what unbelief says. No, listen. I have seen God overcome things in my life that as I walk through, I said, there's no doubt in my mind, Lord, that You've done that because I can't. And so you know what that makes me want to say? First of all, it makes me want to say, praise be to God. Do you think that honors Him? And then I ask Him to do it again. So you be the believer, if you want to, that says, you're just talking yourself into that. I'm the believer that's experiencing God. I'm getting the joy of the Lord. And people over here are saying, I think you're just working yourself up into being faithful to the Lord. Try it. And see what you find. Because if I'm talking myself into serving the Lord, I've done that in the past. And you know how many times I've failed? Every time I failed. So you know why, when I ask God to fill me with His Spirit and it happens, you know why I know that it's God? Because I fail every time. And I wonder who's going to be the happier when we see Jesus. Amen? Those that say, I'm trusting in the Lord, He does it all. Or those that say, oh, I don't think I can do it. And other people are just working themselves up to do it. I don't think anybody can work themselves up to do anything for God. You may want to, and I've wanted to for many years and never done it. But when God takes over, you know who's doing the driving. And so the Lord says, I want you to know, if you know these things, that's one thing, but you're happy if you do them. Last thought. Ready? The Lord's mind. The Lord cares for his own. And notice what happens here in verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And that's Psalm 41:9. Speaking of Judas, he's lifted up his heel against me. And by the way, why say that? If it's going to be done, why say that? I think that's conviction for Judas. Did the disciples know who was going to reject them? No, they didn't know. They're all thinking, what were they all thinking? That none of them thought, is it Judas? They were all thinking, what? Is it me? They were afraid of betraying the Lord. That's not a bad place to be. We ought to be fearful of betraying our God. Verse 19. Now I tell you before it come that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. I'm telling you what's going to happen. So when it happens, they're going to all know it's going to be Judas, right? And just like the Lord said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, which is the Father. Verse 21, and here it is. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Did you see that? He was troubled in spirit. I don't know why, but he still cared for Judas. God still cares for us. Do you believe that? Listen to what Jesus said. We're not going to go there. I'm just going to read it to you. Luke 13:34. You'll know it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often, Jesus speaking, would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. And ye would not. Do you know what the Lord's trying to do for us that know him? He's trying to gather us together unto himself, that we might experience him and his glory in us, that will wow us and bring us to praise his holy name. He's also trying to gather those who are without Christ to walk in and to join in this wonderful relationship that Jesus had purchased with his own blood for all who will believe and receive. Do you know that our salvation can become even sweeter than it was the first day we got saved? Because we become more intimate with our Savior. That's just the first introduction of who he is. And yes, it is awing, isn't it? Wow, that God loved me and died for me. And now here's the rest of the story. Not only did he die for us, but he lives again that he might live in us. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, would we say to the Lord, oh, don't pass me not, Lord. Lord, may you walk in me as you desire. May you have your way and your will in my life as your child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year that we celebrate the price that you paid to give us eternal life. But it didn't stop there. You've given to us a new life, being born again. Lord, may you speak to our hearts and minds that we might understand you and truly, Lord, receive you, not just for eternal life, but for a life that glorifies your name on this side of eternity. Bless your word, bless your people, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.